It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. The Gun Violence Archive reports that in 2023, more than 118 Americans died every day by firearms. And last month, the Surgeon General declared that gun violence is a public health crisis in the United States.
To talk about gun violence as a public health crisis, we have physicians from the Medical College of Wisconsin. Dr. Stephen Hargarten is founding director of the Comprehensive Injury Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Dr. Hargarten, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for the invitation, Kate. Glad to be here.
At this moment, when we hear the Surgeon General declare gun violence a public health crisis in America, what is your reaction to this declaration?
Well, I think the first reaction is great that the Surgeon General is using his leadership position to call further attention to this vexing, tragic problem of the United States. And yet this has been a tragic public health problem for decades here in the United States. So yes, it's timely that he's come out to talk about it, and yet it has been needed to be discussed by the Surgeon General ever since the 90s. And the previous Surgeon General, C. Everett Koop, was, I think, one of the leaders who last discussed this. So again, timely and necessary, we need to do more.
The Surgeon General Vivek Murthy told the Associated Press that it's time to take the gun debate out of the realm of politics and instead talk about it in terms of public health. What can physicians do to shift public thinking around firearms?
It is no question that it's an adverse effect on the public's health. And we have other public health challenges that we face all of the time. And there are policies and issues that need to be discussed that place it in the political realm like other diseases have been placed. And so while framing it in the public health domain is very timely and useful for us to engage everyone, we recognize that policies have inherent need for political discussion and advancement. And so I think that's really important to understand the challenges that we have, both here in Wisconsin and in our nation, to really find a balance that we need from all sectors of civil society to bring us together, to find common ground, and to advance the health and safety of our communities.
Policies perhaps such as a 48-hour waiting period for purchasing handguns, which was repealed here in Wisconsin in 2015 by then-Governor Scott Walker. What does your research say about waiting periods?
So I think there is some research, not mine in particular, though we've looked at this, is that we know that the usage of firearms that are related to suicides are a significant problem and the major cause of firearm deaths here in Wisconsin. Over half are firearm-related suicides. And we do know that there are impulsive decisions about using a firearm for leading to a suicide. And so if there's a way to delay the acquisition of this product so that there is a cooling off period, if you will, if there's an opportunity to gain mental health treatments. We do know that means matter, and I think that policy should be reexamined for its benefit to the public's health, along with other kinds of policies that are involved with extreme risk protection orders that remove the firearm temporarily while that individual gains mental health treatment for whatever is causing their depression and anxiety and anger. So there's a lot of different programs and policies that can be and should be discussed in the light of the tragedies that are occurring most every day here in Wisconsin.
I want to get your take on Milwaukee's violence interrupters and de-escalating violence. The trauma center at Frederick has in-hospital violence interrupters, from what I understand. What impact do you see them making on this crisis?
Well, I think that this is a very, very strong example of how health systems are really thoughtfully engaging patients, in this case, who are wounded by a bullet. And when the patient arrives with a biomedical need, they're bleeding, they're in shock, they need the immediate actions of a surgeon to help save them from further injury. But during that moment, during the moment that they were shot, they're experiencing a behavioral injury, Kate. And that behavioral injury needs immediate therapy or immediate intervention to manage that injury so that it doesn't escalate into anger and revenge and retaliation, so that it doesn't end up being involved with the development of post-traumatic stress. And so the comprehensive approach that Frederick Hospital is doing, along with Children's, it is nationally recognized. It is nationally ahead of other trauma centers to comprehensively approach these patients in a way that provides them with comprehensive care and the likelihood of the unlikelihood of retaliation that leads to further injury and perhaps death. So it's a very important, very, very important and innovative program that you're referencing, Kate. And we need to fully evaluate it as it's being done as we speak. It looks like it's paying dividends.
Dr. Hargarten, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
That is Dr. Stephen Hargarten, founding director of the Comprehensive Injury Center at the Medical College of Wisconsin. And now let's turn to Dr. Megan Schultz, who directs the Global Child Health Program with the Medical College of Wisconsin. Dr. Schultz, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
The Surgeon General's report says that since 2020, guns have been the leading cause of death for American children. What is causing the spike in gun deaths among kids?
Well, like so many public health issues, it's really multifaceted. I think 2020 was sort of a watershed moment for our country with the COVID pandemic. With the COVID pandemic, we saw a lot of safety nets and social structures really break down. Part of that was school, which so often provides a really nice structure and community for children. I think with school closures, that really hurt a lot of kids. You know, all of a sudden they were hungry. They didn't have a place to go. They weren't seeing their friends on a regular basis. Mental health issues have climbed since 2020 as well. I think that goes hand in hand with gun violence, as actually many of the gunshot wounds that we see in children are suicides or suicide attempts. So it's so multifaceted. You know, I think policy is definitely in there. There's just really unfettered access to guns in our country. So that's definitely part of it. But yeah, mental health, a lack of sort of investment in communities and structure for children, education.
What have you learned in treating these young patients who come before you? What have they taught you?
You know, I've trained first as a pediatrician. So I did my pediatric residency training first, and we don't learn about gun violence in pediatrics. It's not widely perceived to be a pediatric problem, or it wasn't 10 years ago when I was in pediatric training. So just from the medical clinical side of it, I've really had a trial by fire education on how to treat gunshot wounds in children. It's something I think no pediatrician ever envisions having to be able to do. But then also I think, you know, just as a mom, as a woman, as a community member, I have learned so much about how absolutely devastating guns are to entire communities, to families, to parents, to siblings. I mean, the amount of PTSD that we see in people who are maybe were not even shot themselves, but have seen someone shot, have seen a loved one shot, even being shown a gun, being threatened with a gun can cause PTSD. You know, it's something like 54% of U.S. adults or their family members have experienced a firearm-related incident. That was a huge learning point for me. Even when I'm not clinically treating a gunshot wound, I am dealing with the ramifications of them.
How should adults talk with their kids about guns? What should that conversation look like?
That's a great question, because I do think that this public health crisis requires all of us to respond. This is not just a policy issue for politicians to worry about. This is not just a medical issue for doctors to worry about. parents and adults and teachers and business owners need to be talking with, honestly, everyone in the community about guns, but especially children. So children are already getting some of this messaging through drills at school. So I think some parents I talk to are nervous about bringing it up, or they don't want to unnecessarily traumatize their children by talking about guns. But guns are omnipresent now. I mean, guns are in our culture. So kids are seeing guns on TV. They're playing with guns, you know, at the water park, like, you know, water guns. They mm-hmm. are, guns are in their video games. And then guns are in these school drills that every school does now. So how I talk to my kids about it and how I recommend parents talk to their children is, a gun is a very dangerous weapon. You can never play with a gun. If you see a gun anywhere, you need to go get help. Like, put it down, do not touch it, and go get a grown-up. We see a lot of gunshot wounds in Children's Wisconsin in the ER, who, it happens to children who have found a gun. Maybe they're at a play date and it's at a friend's home. Maybe they're at grandma's house and grandma bought a gun for protection. But a child who finds a gun sort of accidentally needs to know, needs to have the education that they cannot touch it. They cannot play with it. It is very dangerous.
Dr. Schultz, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Dr. Megan Schultz is director of the Global Child Health Program at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Earlier, we talked with Dr. Stephen Hargarden, who founded its Comprehensive Injury Center.